All right, if you have your Bibles, we're in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And let's see how I want to start this. Well, let's just start reading that verse, at verse 1 of the fourth chapter. It says, "Let us therefore fear." Now, the word fear doesn't mean to cower. It means to be in awe, to have reverential fear, to know, just be in awe of what God has done, and God can't lie, okay? And so he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now, what's that mean? Well, are you acting as if you know that, you know, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, you know, to do what? To redeem those who are under the law. And because of that, you have eternal life. And because of that, the moment you believed, God said you died with Christ. So you're dead. And we'll pick this up in over in Colossians a little bit. But you're dead. And your life, I don't know what there is about this verse that no one seems to understand. You're dead and your life is hid. So everybody said, well, you know, God saw you do this, and God saw you do that, and he's going to have to take you aside and talk to you, you know, get you straightened out a little bit. No, we died with Christ. We have to understand. So, the only things that can be remembered, what does the scripture say? The just shall live how?
By faith.
By faith. And the law is what?
Not faith.
It's not of faith. So, the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is what?
Sin.
It's sin, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So if you're trying to live, you know, now good behavior is always better than bad behavior. But none of us has behavior that can make us accepted of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only way we can be made fit for the presence of God is by the fact that God, through the person of Jesus Christ, became a man through the virgin birth so that he could live his life as a Jew and then have a body in which to die, because the scripture says without the shedding of blood is what?
No remission
or no payment. So we can't pay for our own sins, but God in the person of Jesus Christ did. So the sin question is settled. And your life is settled because you're dead. Do you go down to the cemetery and knock on the tombstones and say, "Now you kids quit fooling around in there"? Well, that'd be absurd, wouldn't it? But that's the way that most churches, you know, and all of what is called religion, it's all based upon man's behavior. And no one ever seems to figure out, we didn't get our sense of right behavior from God. I used to think that before I grew to the point where I understood it. But, when Adam sinned, you sinned. When Eve sinned, Adam sinned not because he was deceived. She was deceived, but the scripture says very clearly, Adam was not deceived. So what Adam did for Eve is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And so Adam cast himself upon the grace of God by eating of that tree. He knew what God would do. He was still in the image of God at that point in time. Eve was deceived by the serpent and she ate. And then she gave also to her husband. And it doesn't appear there was any conversation or anything of the sort. But we have to remember that Adam was still in the image of God. So what's that mean? He was without sin? Does it mean he had not omniscience? Good possibility. You know, the scripture doesn't reveal whether he did or not. Well, what does it mean to be in the image of God? So the possibility that the whole redemptive thing was laid before him and he willingly gave himself free. So that plunged the whole human family into sin. So none of us born into this world, born of Adam, can go to heaven because we're born of Adam. As in Adam, what does the scripture say? And as in Adam, all do what? All die. So in Christ, that is, all who are in Christ, the all doesn't mean everyone, it means all in Christ. So all in Christ shall be made alive. Now let's turn to the book of Colossians. And let's begin at about verse 8 of the second chapter. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." What is philosophy? That's the love of knowledge, or, you know, and vain deceit. Spoil you. What is vain deceit? Vain deceit was what Eve practiced when the serpent deceived her. Okay. So there's no reason for any of us to be deceived by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, yet the whole world is deceived by it and operates in it, and that's what they think is going to get them to heaven. Well, they can give lip service to Christ, you know, but they really do think by the lives that they live. You know. So we're in the second chapter of Colossians and verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." After what? The traditions of the men. That takes in the whole Old Testament and the Jews' relationship with God. And what the Jews could not ever figure out, though they should have been able to understand it, because before Moses got down from the mount, every single thing that the Jews had promised, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, was already broken. Yeah. Remember, after after Moses was gone for a little while, they said to Aaron, "Make us a god." We don't know what happened to Moses. Yeah. Well, they went up to the mount to get the law that you said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But very quickly, "Make us a god." And they were worshiping Apis, the bull god. And if you know anything at all about the practice of virtually every idolatrous system that was in that region in those days, virtually every one of them was practiced by sexual behavior, either homosexual behavior, heterosexual behavior, animals. I mean, you don't like to mention all of the things that they did, but they did them. But this is the same people that did all of those things said what? "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Oh, really? Yeah. So make us a god. So they were worshiping that god. And if you get over, I think at St. King's, I haven't looked it up for a while. And kind of reminds me of the Godfather when Sonny Corleone's wife is talking to the other women and describing Sonny, how well endowed he was, and she's expanding her hands. And that's what the Jewish women, 1,000 years after they came out of Egypt, in the land, they're still talking about the Egyptian priest, because everything was about sex, And they, in order to be a priest, you had to be well endowed. Let's just put it that way. Okay. So, are we really any different? The truth of the matter isn't. We like to think we are, but not really, you know. So beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of the men, after the rudiments of the world. That's the things that the world does, you know. It came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what is every religious system in the world based upon? It's all based upon man's knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. Now, let me make it clear. Good behavior is better than bad behavior. But nobody goes to heaven because of their behavior. Because the moment that you believe, you died. You died with whom? You died when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And you were buried with him, you were raised with him, and God counts you, even though we're still here. He counts us all to already be present with him in heaven and in God's judicial relationship, because God can't fail at anything that he's promised to do. We are all as good as being there. Okay. So all of this nonsense about Peter checking out your record to see whether you're good enough to enter into heaven, that's just another way of manifesting the lie of the devil. And it's amazing how many people think, you know, they're going to have to give an account to Peter. Yeah. Why Peter? Peter promised he wouldn't never deny the Lord, and he denied him three times that very night. Are we any better than Peter? No. So we just have to recognize really what we have. We have this treasure of eternal life, and we have it where? In an earthen vessel. So if you look at me, I look at you. I can see faults, you can see faults. But our eternal inheritance is not based upon you or me. It's based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so he took upon him your sins, my sins, and bore the judgment of them. Because without the shedding of blood or sweat, no remission. So the payment was made. When was it made? When Christ died, long before I was ever born. But God in his omniscience knew that he had elected me to salvation before the foundation of the world. Now, in the election, you can't find any merit in an election. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when we talk this way, you know, people think that it's very unfair for God to have chosen certain ones for salvation. But man, God knows man's heart, you know. And he can put up a facade of being, oh, so wonderful. But what's in the heart, you know? And it's sad. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then the scripture says, what? Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. Your own capabilities. Sometimes we find ourselves having done something that we thought we could never do, but we did it anyway. You know, kind of like Red Skelton when he used to play the mean little kid. I know that if I climb up there to get a cookie, I'm going to get a spanking, but I did it anyway. You know? And that's the human nature. That's who we are. We're going to do it anyway. And we need to be extremely thankful because we're just as self-willed as the rest of the world. You know, some things change with us, but the primary thing that changes us and builds us up is the more of the Word of God that's in us. then we understand who we are. We don't argue against it. Oh, I'm a good person. Don't tell me I'm not a good person. Now, people can get really upset with you when you say, you're no damn good. No. I'm no damn good. No. The bottom line, if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. The bottom line, if you got what you deserve, you'd go to hell. Salvation's by grace, and grace is what? Unmerited favor. So Paul goes on to say to the Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. You know, all the thoughts of man, how, you know, the great thinkers of every age. The problem with the great thinkers of every age, they were unsaved. And as unsaved men, it was impossible for them to understand the Word of God. So that's why we see so much of man's philosophy arguing against the grace of God. Because it was done through philosophy and what? Vain deceit. I'm a good person. No. After the rudiments or foundations of the world and not after Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. No. And all that are in Christ are in us. We're indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Okay. Yeah. And so we're not going to understand this completely till we shed this body of sin. And that will come at death, and God will give us a body to dwell in until the day of the resurrection. But at the day of the resurrection, remember, when Paul was on stoned to death at Lystra, he speaks of it in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, I knew a man in Christ about, what was it, 40 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one, caught up to heaven, and saw things that are not lawful to be uttered. So all of these out-of-body experiences where people say, you know, they died, and then God gave them their life back, but they actually saw heaven, and they make up all kinds of stories. Yeah. And it's nothing but lies. Yeah. Because there's nobody that's in heaven now except the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul. Remember, he was put to death at Lystra, and he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. But God ordered that he couldn't talk about the things which he saw. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, I'll glory in such one. But, apart from that, he saw things just as our Lord has seen things, because our Lord is God, so he knows all about it. And Paul had the opportunity to see what life after death is like, and then God raised him back to life again, and he returned, but he was returned to the earth with the command not to talk about it. Let's read that over in 2 Corinthians. This is the 12th chapter. Okay. It says, it is not expedient for me, or it's not something I should be doing, for me to doubtless to glory, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now he's speaking of himself as if he's talking about someone else. And he says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Did I say 44 a while ago? 14, yeah. Couldn't be 44 years. Paul didn't live that long. 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. He couldn't say whether he was in a physical body or out of his physical body. God knoweth such an one that what? Caught up to the third heaven, that's the dwelling place of God. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. So he was seeing these things, but his body was in the dump in Lystra. You know. And so he says, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Why unspeakable? If you or me or anybody else who is a believer in Jesus Christ, if we really knew what our heavenly inheritance is, you know, and we think when we bowl a 300 game, we've done something, you know. Well, for the natural man, I guess that's a pretty good feat. But this world has nothing to offer that can begin to compare with what Paul describes here. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities, or the problems I have. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. It's just like, if I start telling you about out-of-body experiences, you know, and like I do all the time in the Pentecostal church, and everybody, oh, Pastor so-and-so, he went right into the presence of God in heaven. Yeah. And they do, you know, that's an unscriptural concept. Yeah. And so he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, verse 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Learn the lesson here. We're constantly asking, pray this, pray that. After three times, if the Lord's going to do something, he'll do it in his time, his way. But you prayed about it enough, okay? So he says, I besought the Lord three times about this. And he said unto me, to each one of us, my grace is sufficient for thee. You've got salvation by grace through faith. Each one of us in this room has salvation by God's grace through faith. That's enough. Just to know that we have an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us. Reserved because I'm a good person? No. Reserved because I've been preaching the better part of 65 years? No. No. Reserved that I'm continuing to serve the Lord for 20 years past the normal time of death? No. That's only by God's grace. Okay. So I besought the Lord about this three times, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So think about that for yourself. You know, you cast all your care upon him, but if he chooses to say no, then after three times, that's enough no's. You know, so if he, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect how? In weakness. Yeah. Now, from a physical standpoint, with all of the diseases and problems I had as a child, through my, I was pretty healthy after I saw Dr. Lee and went into the Air Force when I was 19. And then for a few years after that, But then all of a sudden, you know, 50 years of age, had a heart attack. Yeah. But I'm now 40 years past my 50th birthday. And I'm still here. Yeah. Can I boast in that? No. Is it because I eat right, I exercise, I drink Ovaltine? I had to bring some things that we used to have listened to on the radio. It was a terrible drink. But every kid had to have Ovaltine. I think they, I'm not sure whether it was Superman or just who.
No, it was the Christmas story. The kid wanted the Dakota ring for drinking Ovaltine.
They added that in there. Yeah. But who was actually advertising Ovaltine? We had daily shows about Superman and about, you know, Super McGee and Molly and all this type. I don't know who the sponsor was. No. But every kid had to have Ovaltine. And if you got ate the right cereal and got 3 box tops, you could send that in with a quarter and get a Dakota ring. And every kid had to have at least 3 boxes of cereal, whether he ever ate it or not. Yeah. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect where? In weakness. Yeah. And what I do most of the time now, I preach on Sunday here for all the services, and then but I just teach the morning worship service. And then I'm here on Wednesday night. And then in between, I sleep a lot. My heart's out of rhythm. And I found out if I'm going to do what God called me to do, I can't do all the other things I used to do. You know? So he had to whittle me down to a bloody stump before he could get my attention to slow down a little bit, Dale. Okay. Therefore, verse 10, I take pleasures in infirmities. You know, think about that. You know, I had my first heart attack when I was 50. I'm now 91, 41 years after that. You know, and 21 years past the normal day of death. Now, my mother lived to be 96. My dad lived to be 44. You add those two together, you get 140. You divide it by 2, and what do you get? The age of man, 70 years. And you can go to the newspaper where they list deaths on just about any given day, and you have children, infants, adults, varying ages, add them all up, divided by the total number, and it's amazing how many times it comes out so close to 70. Yeah. I don't get that rag, the register guard anymore. Last time I saw one, it's got the shrinking man disease, because it used to be big and it used to be thick, but it's down to almost the size of our school paper now. You know? Well, and they deserve that. They haven't got any credibility. You know? They act like they're conservative, but they're so far to the left it isn't funny. All right. Therefore, I take pleasure in affirming, in reproaches. Yeah, I have to be reproached. In necessities, yeah, there are things that I need. In persecutions, yeah, I've suffered at that because I've preached the truth. In distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, what? Think about this. When you're weak, you recognize, yeah, I don't have longevity because I'm a health nut. There's only one reason why I've lived as long as I have. Apparently the Lord still has something for me to do. So when that's done, then I'll be done, you know. And, you know, it could happen while I'm preaching, it could happen after I get through preaching, tomorrow, the next day, or if the Lord tarries, it could happen, you know, 5, 10 more years from now. Nobody in my family quite reached 100 years of age, but, you know, quite frankly, I don't care. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful about that, because to me, to live is what?
Christ.
Same thing for you. For to me, to live is Christ. As long as I can preach, and as long as I can share things that Eric perhaps hasn't gotten to that place yet, I still have a ministry. He's coming along very nicely. You know, still has, you know, some things that, with respect to church business and all that type of thing, that he hasn't fully learned yet. But, you know, when the Lord figures he's ready, then he can say, sayonara for me. Okay. And I don't mean to be flip, you know. But I believe the Word of God. And this verse of Scripture, and it really becomes more true the older you get, or it should. For to me, to live is what? Is Christ. And to die is what? It's gain. So, you know, as long as I have breath and can preach and teach and share experiences and share biblical truth, I'm going to do it, see. And, we're back in Corinthians. I need to get us back into Colossians. Okay, so he says, therefore I take pleasures in verse 10, now verse 11, I'm become a fool in glorying, but you've compelled me. You know, people have a tendency to want to exalt people, you know, or to put them down, one or the other. So I am become a fool in glorying, you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. You know, you should have been recommending me to others, to preach to them. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. And notice what Paul says about himself. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Though I be what? Nothing. You know, if I have any understanding, I do not have it because of me. Have I studied over the years? Have I written books over the years? Have I written lots and lots of articles over the years? Yes. But anything that I've understood was never because of me. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he says, I've become a fool in glory, and you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chief apostle, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches? Did I hold back anything? Paul says, no, you weren't. You got the whole ball of wax. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? For give me this wrong. You know, a lot of preachers, they wouldn't pastor this church because there wouldn't be enough money for them to live high on the hog. It's perfectly proper for those who preach the gospel to do what? To live of the gospel. but I'm not going to rape this church financially so I can live high on the hog. Yeah. And you ever wonder why preachers only spend about 3 years with a church? Well, they get a little reputation. So I can get more, paid more. This church is willing to pay me more than the one I'm in. Now, it doesn't mean he's really called to go to the next church, but he's always called to go to the next church because it's always a higher wage. You know? And and preachers are just nothing but paycheck tramps. You know, they preach so they don't offend anyone, and they want as much money as they can get. And when they get to be a certain age, you know, well, I'm 65, so I can get Social Security now, so I can get that, and I've got the money that I got from you. I'm no longer called to preach. And I kid you not, who used to say that on television? I can't remember who it was. Anyway, but I'm not kidding. That is the way that the ministry works most of the time. It's a rarity, and I'm not boasting myself one little bit. It's a rarity where, you know, we started this church back in 80, I think. I believe that's correct. So, or 82, whatever it says in the bulletin. Okay, from there, so that's, there's 22 years plus another nominally 22 years. So we've been here for 44 years. You know? And, yeah. And I lived very modestly. But then all of a sudden I had an insurance policy on me, one on Joanne. She died. I no longer needed insurance. I had enough money to bury me without it. My cash said it. You know, Tevye, if I were a rich man, well, I'm not rich by the world's standards, but I've got more money than I ever had in my life. And, you know, I don't need a lot of money, so I'll just leave it to my kids. Unless we all go out together. So that's the way it works. So, let's go back to Colossians. Stay there too long on. Become a sentimental fool. Oh, okay. He says, well, let's go back to verse 9. For him that is in Christ, of the second chapter, Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, Paul was privileged to spend 2 years with the Lord in Arabia. And the Lord spent, did I say 2 years? I think it was 3 years. Yeah. And that was the term of each of the apostles. The Lord ministered for 3 years. And of course, Judas fell. And the church had an election, and every church in the country goes to what happened in the first chapter of Acts when they elected, forgotten his name now. Anyway, look at the first chapter of Acts and you get his name. But the interesting thing about that name, the only place you're going to find it is in that chapter in Acts. After that, you never hear any more of him. So who really did take Judas's place? It was Paul.
Yeah.
So the Lord spent 3 years with the other apostles under the law, but the apostle Paul spent 3 years with the Lord in Arabia under the new covenant.
Matthias,
yeah. And everybody uses Matthias as what we're supposed to do. Yeah. But they never read his name ever again in Scripture. There's not one book of Scripture written by Matthias. But what did Paul say? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Do not I have the power to lead about a sister, a wife? Yeah. So who really did take Judas's place? It was the apostle Paul. Yeah. So continuing, in whom you also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hand. Circumcision refers to the flesh. That's verse 11 of the second chapter of Colossians. Okay? So, the flesh is removed. That's where? If you want to be blunt, at the place of life in the natural realm. Yeah. Without a union between a man and a woman, you know, you can't produce children. I said, oh, we can do it artificially. You still have to have the sperm from a man. You know? And you can't put that inside a man and get a child. You know? So I don't care how you live your life, what you think is right or wrong with respect to your sexual pleasures. I would be taken out and hanged for saying this publicly. But homosexuals, the world's all about environment. But if we, in our environment, suppose we all became like Sodom and Gomorrah. Suppose that our men were married, but they had no relationships with their wives, so that Lot's daughters were still virgins. What's going to happen? Maximum three generations. Yeah. It would be less time than that, because somewhere along the line, the older ones are going to get too old to do anything, but they're not having sexual intercourse in the first place. And without it, artificial insemination, but that takes a special surgery and so on and so forth. But naturally, we reproduce that way. That's part of the love relationship between a man and a woman. It's a proper relationship in that case. And in the other sexual relationship that's not in that mode, not the husband and wife, they can get beyond the age of having children. Yes, it's a wonderful relationship that's going to continue until my age, you no longer have it. But if women were only getting their sexual pleasure from other women, and if men were only getting their sexual pleasure from other men, from men, and never a man and a woman were joined, what's going to happen? We were trying to save the environment, but we forgot to save ourselves. That would happen in the natural. But God's going to end the whole thing one of these days pretty soon. The second coming of our Lord is much closer than I think any of us dares to think. But it can still go on. Nobody knows the day or the hour. So no matter how much I study, I'm never going to know the exact day or the hour of the coming of the Lord. But I can see certain things taking place that are much worse than when I was writing the book on the second coming of our Lord, which I finished the year my mother died, I think it was 2007. So, I was writing about those things. But even back to before, when Brother Stewart was alive, and I was preaching on the second coming, and he said, I don't think it's bad enough yet. And that was back in the 80s. I wonder what Brother Stewart would have to say today. It's bad enough, but only the Lord knows when he's going to do it. So how are we to live our life? The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. So we assemble ourselves together so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And as we go over these things, they give us hope. And it's not a false hope like the world has. All of the world's hope is based about what man can do for God. Biblical Christianity, biblical Judaism is based upon what God has done for man in the person of and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, through the sacrificial system, they were looking forward to his coming, and we're looking back to what took place when he spent 3 years on the, or 33 years on this earth, and then was crucified. Because why? Without the shedding of blood, there has to be a sacrifice for sin to make us what? Accepted of God. Our lives, in fact, our lives, you're dead. So your life is not being viewed except through the spiritual gifts that God has given you, that you operate in by faith. And for those, you're going to get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. And then you read the book, fourth chapter of the Revelation. What do you get to do? You get to take your crown from your head and cast it before the feet of the Lord. So you think, need to think about it. Do I do anything? And we sometimes operate in our spiritual gifts without knowing what they are, but we're operating in them. And then there is, what's the scripture say to us? There's a spiritual reward for just not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as what? Back in those days, when Paul wrote this, as the manner or habit of some is. Low church attendance has been with us from the get-go. Sometimes we finally grow enough to where suddenly I can't get enough. Would to God that were every believer in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. That any of us, and I think about myself above all, that any of us has an inheritance in heaven, but we have that inheritance not because of us, but because of you. Because in the person of Jesus Christ, you became a man, you fulfilled the law, you fulfilled all righteousness, and you died a ransom for sin. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. So at the natural level, none of us can boast. But the scripture tells us, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And we do. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.